HBF, how are you all doing? It's nerve-wracking being up here, isn't it? And that it's all good in the hood. Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus' words say, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And by way of introduction, Jesus tells us there is, some people call this verse the counting the cost verse of following Jesus. And that's exactly what it is. But what I want to challenge you guys today with, Brian asked me if I would come up and charge the parents and the congregation this morning. I want to charge you with getting real with Jesus. And that's what we're going to look at today. Jesus told us that when we put, he's got a field for us, and there's some work to be done. And he wants us to grab a hold of this plow, and he wants us to go to work for him. And he tells us, by the way, don't look back, because if you do look back, you're going to be useless to me. And but what Jesus doesn't tell us to do, Jesus doesn't tell us to look, he doesn't tell us, hey, don't look up. He doesn't tell us, hey, don't look around. He tells us, don't look back. And oftentimes, guys in life, because this is right where I'm, by way of testimony, I want to share this with you all this morning, because this is right where God has me. It's really cool. But God tell, you know what we need to do? We need to grab a hold of that plow, but we need to look around and even investigate what field we're even in. Because this is the deal, guys. We may be in the wrong field. We may grab a hold of this plow and we may be going to work, but it's for all the wrong reasons. It's not for Jesus. It's for self-gratification. It's for our own well-being here on earth to make our life easier. Your hair is looking good, dude. I love it. And so we need to look around because, guys, there's all kinds of fields out there. There's the field of education. We grab a hold of a plow and we get in this education field and we start pushing on this thing. And we invest all of our time and all of our energy and all of our efforts into an education. Why? So that we can get a good career. Why? So that we can make good money. Why? So that we can find the husband or wife of our dream and buy our dream house and buy our dream SUV and have our 2.3 kids and have the white picket fence and this, that, and the other. And guys, if that is our main focus, we're in the wrong field. Okay? There's the field of career. Look, Jesus, I will follow you, but first, let me get my career established. I need this job, and I need to focus all my energy and efforts on this career. I've got to make those six figures so that I can be successful in life. And even this, guys, we can get all twisted up. I need those six figures so that I can provide for my family. Look, guys, Jesus is going to provide, okay? Jesus is going to provide. And he wants to do that for us. But we take and we twist things up, you know. And we need to get real with Jesus about this stuff. We get in these fields of education, career. How about the field of children? We get in this in our children's field. And we coddle them and we do everything we can for them. As a matter of fact, we begin to worship them, right? Our kids are our number one priority. We get in that field, and I've got to get my kids the newest clothes. I've got to get them the newest electronic gadget. I've got to get them enrolled in every single sport. And you know what? Family is important. But listen to me. If we're not in the field, if we're not in the field that Jesus has called us to, we are no earthly good, not only to him, but we are no earthly good to our families because our priorities are all jacked up. You see, God's called us to have balance in our lives, and he wants to be preeminent, number one, in our life. And after that comes our family, and after that comes the ministry, the world. And oftentimes we take that thing and we jumble it all up like a Jenga puzzle, and we've got our family up there, number one, where Jesus is supposed to be. Or we've got our career, number one, where Jesus is supposed to be. Or we've got our education, number one, or whatever it may be, guys. And this is exactly where God has me in my life. I get a phone call about, are you guys videoing me? I'm sorry, I move around a lot. I get a phone call about 3 or 4 weeks ago from a competing contractor, an owner of a major commercial construction company. He calls me up, this guy, and I know him. I've worked around him before. He says, hey, are you happy where you're at? I said, yeah, I'm pretty happy where I'm at. He's like, well, I wasn't sure, and I've got a job opportunity for you. And he offers me a job in a superintendent position where I'm a carpenter by trade, where I can take my tool bags off and forsake those suckers and never have to put them on again, right? And he just starts laying out the benefit package. It's so much more an hour. You're going to have some paid vacations. There's going to be an awesome bonus package for you. And then it pumps up the ego. We just love you. You're a hard worker. We know your work ethic. We know who you are. We know you have good character qualities. And we're just eager to get you on board. And by the way, this is just an offering. You can counter if you would like. So in other words, if you want some more money, we'd be willing to throw that out there to you. You know, and guys, this thing just ate my mind up for the next 2.5-3 weeks. This was like on a Saturday, okay? And it consumed my mind. It consumed my every thought. I told him, I'm like, I'll call you Monday and let you know, which was stupid. That was not even enough time. And so that night, I got in my prayer closet, and I'm like, God, you need to answer this. I need an answer from you. Let me just be real with you. That's what I said. I said, God, I need an answer from you. I need a book. I need a chapter, and I need a verse, and I need that right now. You laugh, Ruby, but the reason why I did this is because somebody told me they did this one time to God, and it supposedly worked for them. But in their life, they may have done exactly the same thing that I did, which is I took the scripture, which was Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6, where God is addressing Israel and telling them, hey, guys, you've spent long enough in this mount. You need to get off your you-know-what, and you need to go across the Jordan and possess the land that I promised you. And I'm like, well, hallelujah. Jesus, you've answered my question. I need to get uproot from where I'm at, and I need to go across the road. I need to change jobs. That's what I need to do right there, because God, you gave it to me. You gave me the book, you gave me the chapter, and you gave me the verse. And I'm like, sweet. As a matter of fact, I brought it into class on Sunday with the high schoolers. I didn't tell them exactly what was going on, but I'm like, look, I prayed, and I told God this is what I needed, and he did it, and then this is it. And so we need to get out of our comfort zone. We need to get out of this mountain. We need to go, right? And I was all jacked up about it. I told my wife about it, and God began to work on me over and over and over again. And I got to thinking to myself, does God really care about my secular job? Does God really care that much about my secular job? Are my needs being met right where I'm at? Yes, they are. Absolutely. And at the end of the day, it didn't really have anything to do with my job, but it had everything to do with my relationship with Jesus and getting in the field that he had called me to and getting to work. And stop being in your little comfort zone and step out of your comfort zone and keep pushing the plow. Guys, we're in the field where God's called us. I'm sure of that. The problem is I stopped pushing. I punched the GPS buttons, what I did, Doug, and I let the tractor do the work. You know what I'm saying? And I was comfortable there. I was set back drinking soda and letting the tractor do the work. And God's like, no, look, I've got you a job. I've got you a place. It's all good in the hood. Don't worry about that. What I need you to do is get serious about my business and stop looking back, because that's exactly what I was doing. I'm like, Jesus, I'll follow you, but I got to get this career thing lined out. And that's just where God has me right now. And you know what he was really doing, guys, is he was challenging me to get real with him. I need to get real. And so that's what I want to charge you all with this morning. I want to charge you guys with getting real with Jesus. And so if you got your Bibles, open up to Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. And I will pray, and then we will get rolling. Father God, I do thank you for this day. What an awesome day to be alive. What an awesome day to be in your kingdom and have the opportunity and the freedom, Lord, to preach and teach the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that any of the saints that are in here this morning would take full advantage of the freedom that they have to share the truth of your word to the world. Lord, I pray, God, that you would give us a sensitivity and a discernment of the folks that are around us, Lord, that we would meet them right where they're at. And the reason why we need to do that, Lord, is because that's exactly what you do. You meet people where they're at, and you take them to where they need to go. And, Lord, it's awesome to even be a part of that. And thank you for counting us worthy to be able to do that. Lord, I pray this morning for everyone in this congregation. I pray for the saints around the world, Lord. I pray, God, that you would just help us to be focused, Lord, that we would be real with you. And when we commit our lives to you and verbally say, Lord, I will follow you, God, I pray that we would count the cost and understand that that is difficult. That is hard to follow you. And, Lord, that there is work to be done, and you need us to be about your business and not our own, Lord, and that we wouldn't allow life's lesser concerns to be on the forefront of our minds each and every day, but we would be about your business, number one. Lord, I pray for just the parents of the seniors that will be graduating this year, Lord. I pray, God, that you would send them the comforter. I can only imagine how difficult it will be for them, Lord, to let go of their son or daughter and watch them go off into the next leg of this life, Lord. And but Lord, I pray, God, that they would trust you by faith with them. And I pray for these students as well, Lord, God, that they would follow you and in obedience to you, that they would fear you and follow you all of their days. We thank you for your word. Lord, just speak to us today and remove me from this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62 says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Verse 58, and Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of God hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Verse 60, Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So like I said before, I've titled this message, Getting Real with Jesus. And God has certainly charged us with that. And I've got three realities that I want to share with you guys this morning. The first reality is following Jesus can be hard. Our second reality is now is the time to be about the Heavenly Father's business. And our third point that I want to look at today, a reality, is anyone making life's lesser matters of greater priority than God's work is of little use to him. And so the first reality that I want to look at this morning is following Jesus can be hard in your life. Has anyone in here made a commitment to God? Made a commitment to Jesus that I will follow you. Raise your hand if you've done that. You know, we do that at the point of salvation. Jesus cries out to us. He comes rolling up in our lives like in Ezekiel, these wheels, you know. God comes rolling up in our lives and he says, Hey, Tyler, I need you to follow me. And you're like, I don't know. If you guys were like me, I was like Samuel, right? I'm like running over, Hey, did you say something to me? No, it's God. He comes rolling up in your life and he says, Hey, follow me. But look, the reality of that is that can be extremely, extremely difficult. It can be very, very hard. In verse 57, he says, And it came to pass that as they went, what? As they went what? What's that say, church? In the way. As they went in the way. As they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. So what is the deal with this in the way? You know, my favorite verse in the Bible is John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you're like, well, that's an awesome verse. Look, guys, that's a profound statement. That means there's no other way for us to be reconciled back to a holy God except through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no other way. And I don't know about you all, but I'm pretty stoked about that. That means that there's nothing I can do to be right with a holy God. And that is, it's just amazing. That word, the way, it means a road. Look, Jesus is the road to the Father, okay? In order for us to follow Jesus, it's got to be a matter of right relationship, okay? It's got to be a matter of right relationship. We cannot follow Jesus apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We say this all the time. We say, you know what? You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, in the youth, like when we roll out to camp, we get up on this mount with God for a week, and we swim around in His Word, and we're outside of the distractions of the world, and it's an amazing thing. God always rolls into my life and changes my life. I don't know if He changes the student's life, but He always changes my life. But look, this is what happens oftentimes in counseling. Students will come up to us, and they'll say, you know what? I'm not sure if I'm saved, or how do I know if I'm saved? Look, when Jesus rolls up in your life and calls you out and says, hey, follow me, you'll know that. You will know that. When God comes rolling up in your life and says, hey, follow me, you're going to know that. And you know, it's our opportunity, it's our choice to either choose or reject. You know, I was preaching this to my sons last night, my two eldest. I was just sharing with them. I'm like, look, boys, don't ignore when God comes rolling up in your life and says, hey, follow me. Don't ignore that call. You need to respond to that call. And in order for us to follow Jesus, we've got to have that right relationship with Him. If we don't have that right relationship with Him, we can't follow Him. There's no way. It happens all the time. When He was in His ministry, oftentimes He would roll into people's lives and call them out to follow Him. And they would either receive Him or they would reject Him. And so we've got to have that right relationship with Him. And also in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, that way in the Old Testament, I think Tom's teaching through this on Sunday nights. That word there, the way, those two words there, the way, that means the course of life. Parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, if you're saved today, we have a job to do. And that is to train up our children in the course of life, in the way that they should go, so that when they get old, they shall not depart from it. But at the end of the day, guys, think about this. Is my children going to make it to heaven on my relationship with Jesus? Are they going to make it to heaven on my shirt tails? No. At the end of the day, I can spend, Jennifer and I can spend our lives investing the Word of God into our children. But at the end of the day, it's their choice whether or not they're going to follow Jesus or they're going to forsake Him. They cannot get into those that we minister to every Sunday and every Wednesday and at camp and every opportunity that we get. They're not going to ride into heaven on my relationship with Jesus. At the end of the day, they have to make that choice. And parents, oftentimes, you spend your lives, and I've seen it, You spend your lives investing the Word of God into your children, training them up in the way in which they should go. And then they decide when they get older, hey, you know what? I'm done with this whole Jesus thing. They forsake and they reject. And look, moms, dads, aunts, uncles, we can't sit and beat ourselves up about that for the rest of our days. Because at the end of the day, it is their choice. All we can do is pray for them. All we can do is pray for one another. Because they've made that choice. And we got to pray that God would, that they would come humbly before Jesus and repent. That they would come humbly before Jesus and come to know Him personally. Before God has to humble them. You know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to see their kids be humbled. Nobody wants to see their kids getting their face ground off in the world. But at the end of the day, we can't live a life and say, well, I've failed. Look, if you've done what Jesus has told you to do, all you can do is pray for them. Because at the end of the day, they're not going into heaven on your shirt tails. Following Jesus can be hard, and following Jesus is a matter of right reverence, also here in verse 57. You see, this disciple, he says, it came to pass that as they went in the way, we know they're in the way, they're following Jesus, right? Okay. A certain man said unto him, what? What's the Bible say there, congregation? Lord. Lord. Capital L-O-R-D. Following Jesus is a matter of right reverence. John 5:23 says this, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. Are we honoring him as if he is? Are we honoring him as if he is? Does our life honor Jesus? Does our words honor Jesus? Does our actions honor Jesus? Look at this. Check this out, guys. Listen to me. If we're not real with Jesus, if we're not getting real with Jesus, our kids will see that. People will see that. And what happens is we're slowing the gospel down in our children's lives, and we're slowing the gospel down in lost man's eyes. They're like, well, you're a hypocrite, right? And nobody likes a hypocrite. I hated hypocrites when I was lost. I'd be like, yeah, whatever. You take your Jesus and you pack it up and get out of my face because I don't want to hear it. You understand what I'm saying? And so our kids and those that are around us, they see right through that. We need to honor God with our lives, with our actions, and with our words. And not just on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, but every second of every hour of every day. That's what it means to follow Jesus. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Everything we do honors and glorifies God. Why were we even created in the first place? Have you ever asked yourself that question? God, why was I even created? Students, high school students all the way down to the E-wing, things get hard, they get depressed. I just want to kill myself. I don't even know why I was created anyways. Look, God created you. You are wonderfully and beautifully made. He has a plan and a purpose for you. And He created you to bring honor and glory and praise to His name. So follow Him. That's what it means to follow Him, is to honor Him with that right reverence. I got to get going. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Like I said before, this is the only reason why you and I are created, to give God glory, honor, and praise to Him. God did not create us. Check this out, guys, because we get in the wrong field. God did not create us to build our own kingdoms, okay? God created us to build His kingdom. And yet we spend all of our time building our own kingdoms, all right? That's what we're doing, guys, when we're in the wrong field, is we're building our own kingdoms. We're completely and utterly focused on ourselves. God, I will follow you, but. I tell this to our students all the time. Don't let your butt get in the way, all right? Some of us have bigger butts than others, all right? But whether you got a skinny butt or a big butt, don't let your butts get in the way. And we do this all the time. Jesus, I will follow you, but. Whoop, you put a line down. I'll follow you right up to here, but then I've got to get studying, and I've got to get this scholarship. I've got to get this education. I've got to get this boyfriend. I've got to get this girlfriend. This is what your students are dealing with, guys. Pay attention to them. Spend a little time with them, all right? Don't be so busy about building your own kingdom. You're not communicating with your kids, okay? This is what they're dealing with, and this is what they pour all their efforts in. And this may be even what you're pumping into their brain, which, guys, I'm not saying that your kids all need to be stupid and don't go get an education, all right? Just put them to work, make them be carpenters and dig ditches all their lives. No, don't do that. That's what I do, and it's really hard. I'm 40 years old, and it's harder and harder for me to get out of bed every night or every morning. But that's not what I'm saying. This is what they're dealing with each and every day. Is I got to get this education. I got to get this right boyfriend, this right girlfriend. I got to just focus on building my kingdom. And then I will follow you. You know, lost man does the same thing. They're battling this in their head. So you go and present the word of God to someone. They start weighing their options out. So if I follow Jesus, I got to give up all of this to follow him. You know what? That is exactly right. Yes, you have to give up your life. You have to give up everything to follow Jesus. And this is what's cool, and this is what's praise the Lord and hallelujah. He will bless you above and beyond your imagination if you're willing to submit to him and his authority. You guys picking up what I'm laying down? Okay, good. Following Jesus is a matter of right response, right here in verse 57 again. He says, this disciple says, Lord, comma, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Mark 1, verse 17 and 18 says, and Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. This is when Jesus calls out to Simon and Andrew. And what was their response? They forsook their nets. They forsook everything that they knew to follow Jesus. And that's what God's, and that's what we need to do. We need to get real with Jesus. We make this commitment all the time. Jesus, I will follow you. I will follow you. But in order for us to do that, we've got to forsake everything else. And guys, that's hard for us to do. That's extremely hard for us to do because we think, man, I've got to provide for my kids. I've got to be focused on my job. I've got to be focused on the things of the world. And I can't forsake all that. Look, if you're focused completely on everything that the world has to offer, you are destroying your children. You want to know why? Because your balance is all jacked up. Look, you got to make Lord number one in your life. And he's going to set in order all the other relationships that you have. If Jesus is number one and you commit to following him and forsake all other things, he will place in order all other relationships. And you know what you got to do? You got to believe that by faith. You got to trust that by faith. And that's hard to do sometimes. We try to get in there and work that thing out and grab a hold of that plow and push and work and do all these things. And we try and justify it by saying, well, it's for the betterment of my family. And you know what the best thing is for your family? To follow Jesus. Number one, that's the best thing for your family. And he's going to set in order all the rest. Following Jesus is a matter of counting the cost here in verse 58. It says, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. following Jesus is a matter of counting the cost. He says, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Matthew 19, 21 says, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. That was that rich young ruler. And what was his response? No thanks. No thanks. Following Jesus will cost you everything. And when you do that, he will set in order all other relationships. I just said that, but I guess I got to keep telling myself that. So I'm going to keep telling you that. He's going to set in order your marriage. He's going to set in order your relationship with your children. He's going to set in order your ministry. He's going to set in order your job. He's going to set in order all areas of your life if you put him number one. And it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be easy peasy. It's difficult. Following Jesus is hard, but we got to get real with him. Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Look, following Jesus not only takes place at the point of salvation if you're saved today, but it also takes place every single day. Every single day. That's before, for me anyways, guys, that's before my feet hit the floor rolling out of my bed. Jesus, I will follow you today. Help me not to be so focused on myself. Help me to die. Paul says, I die daily. Help me to die to myself today, to pick up my cross, and to follow you. And guys, that's hard to do. Following Jesus is hard. But it is a choice, not only at salvation, but daily. I remember God rolling into my life and calling me to HBI. And I'm like, no way, Jose, am I doing that. And my wife, Tom Fort, Brian Hedges, men and women of God that God had placed in my life kept encouraging me, David Cundiff. And I'm like, no way am I going to do that. And finally, it took God just breaking me down. I remember I was at my house. It was dark. God was just working me over, and he finally got me to that point where I broke. And I went outside. It was dark. It was summertime. I had my comfy shorts on, my comfy cargo shorts, my religious shorts. They got holes in them. If I wore them out in public, I'd get arrested. And I go out, and on my driveway, literally, I go out on my driveway and I just fall on my face before God. And I'm like, God, I will follow you to this place by faith, because there is absolutely no way that I can do this. And, you know, you have milestones in your life oftentimes where you remember those things. I remember when I just submitted myself to you. That was one for me. But regardless of those milestones, regardless of you submitting yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ at the time of salvation, we have to do that daily. We have to do that daily. Luke 14:26 says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and all his own and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Man, that's harsh if you think about it. But that word hate right there, that means love less. How many of you men woke up this morning and rolled over to your wife and said, baby, I hate you? That probably wouldn't have went over real well, right? But this is the reality. I have to love God more than I love my wife. I have to love my wife less than I love God. Why? Why? So that my life is in balance. So that I'm not rearing up my wife as Lord, okay? So I'm not, kids, good to see you this morning. I hate y'all. Have a good day. That's harsh. But think about it. I have to love them less than I love God, because I can't properly love my kids if I don't love God first, you know? I have a friend at work. I was talking to him about this very thing. He's a perfect picture of an awesome father. He loves his girls, and he spends every waking moment, I think, worshiping them is reality. That's really what's going on. And I'm like, Shannon, dude, you gotta love God more, you know? And you gotta follow him. And he looked at me straight in the eyes and he's like, I don't know if I can do that. And it just broke my heart, you know? Like, man, you gotta love God more. You gotta love your kids less than you love God. Don't tell your wife that you hate her tomorrow morning, please. Or your kids, that's not going to be good. But you guys understand what that word means. It means love less. Okay? Reality number two this morning, getting right with Jesus, getting real with Jesus. Now is the time to be about the Father's business. In verse 59, he says, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Following Jesus means we're unconditionally following him. Colossians 1:18 says, and he, being Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the first from the dead, that in all things he might have the, what? Preeminence. The preeminence. To be first in rank or influence. We have to follow him number one in our lives. And he has to have first rank and influence in our lives. And we need to love him and follow him unconditionally. Not drawing lines in the sand, but loving him and following him unconditionally. Being about the Father's business means being willing also to evangelize. In verse 60, it says, and he said unto another, follow me. But look, this disciple, he let his butt get in the way. You see it? He says, but he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. He says, Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. We have got to be willing to evangelize. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to him by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Look, God has given us something, and we need to do something with it. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. And he has called us to go and take that thing to the world. He has called parents, for you to take that to your children. Take that ministry of reconciliation. Write to them. And look, sometimes it's hard for us to do that, and it's difficult to step outside of our comfort zone and evangelize, share the gospel. But look, if we're going to be real with Jesus, he's called us to follow him, and that means we're going to go out and we're going to share the good news. We're going to share the gospel. We're going to tell people about it. And it's got to start, for me, it's got to start in my home. Oftentimes I pray, God, just let us get out of this place. Let us get out of this place with my family. You know? And I've got to evangelize my family. And look, there may be some issues at home, y'all. There's a lot of broken homes. There's a lot of broken families in this world. The sad reality is, there's a lot of broken homes and a lot of broken relationships in the church. And what a bummer. You know what? If we're saved today, God has given us this ministry of reconciliation. We've been reconciled back to a holy God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And maybe we need to give reconciliation right within our own home. Maybe there's a broken relationship at home between the husband and the wife. Husband, stop being a prideful jerk. Humble yourself before a holy God and reconcile that thing so that you can get up and follow Jesus and do what he saved you to do, which is go and preach the gospel, starting with your kids. Because if your home is broken, your kids see that brokenness and they follow after that brokenness. And that reconciliation needs to be taken care of. And it needs to be dealt with. And we need to reconcile with one another so that we can go out and be about the Father's business. We need to take that ministry of reconciliation to the world. And we cannot do that if there is broken fellowship in the home. Because once again, we're not being real with Jesus. And we need to get real with Jesus. Reality number three. Is anyone making life's lesser matters of greater priority than God's work is of little use to him? In verse 62, and it says, "And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." God's work has to be first priority. You see this same example over in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 18 through 21, where Elijah calls to Elisha. This is what it says. It says, Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing the 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12th and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back to from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. You know what Elisha did here? He took care of business at home. He got things in order. Maybe there was some disconnect there, some of that reconciliation that we need to deal with. He took care of that business. And then what he did was he took the past and he burned it. And he went forward. And he followed after God. And maybe that's where we're at today. You know, God called me. He's like, "Dude, stop being so focused on all this earthly, temporal stuff. You have inheritance in heaven for you. There's inheritance in heaven for you." But I don't know about you guys, but I struggle in life with that very thing. And it's because I can't see it. I can't see that eternal inheritance that is stored up for me in heaven. So oftentimes I get sidetracked. I get in the wrong field. I'm not being real with Jesus. And I start focusing on inheritance that I can see right here on earth. And Jesus is like, "Dude, you've got eternal inheritance in heaven that's way better than anything that you can muster up or gain here in this life." You know the old saying, have you ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul? You ever seen that, bro? No. Is there anything in this world that we can gain, bro, that we're going to be able to take with us? No. Even in the casket, if somebody throws, you know, Grandpa Eddie's 357 mag in there or whatever, it's still going in a hole and it's next to a carcass and it's going to rot and that's all there is to it. That stack of cash, right, that we all work so hard to try and get, the bank account, the big fat bank account, the nest egg, the safety net, if you will. By the way, you remember that verse there where God calls out Simon and Andrew? What did they do? They forsook their net. Oftentimes I focus on my net. I need the safety net, God. But I will follow you, but I need the safety net. I need a couple thousand in the bank just for, you know, a rainy day. Jesus is like, "You didn't come to me by works. You came to me by faith, and I need you to follow me by faith. I will provide for your needs, man. Stop wasting all your time. Take that past. Take all those things that maybe you thought was a shortcoming in your life, and I want you to heap it up in a big pile, and I want you to burn it like Elisha did. Just burn the past, stop looking back, and move forward. And by the way, don't get so busy about it that you do it without heart. I want you to grab the plow. I want you to look up. And I want you to look around and be diligent about my work and make sure that you're in the right field." And most of all, God wants us to be real with him. Jesus needs us to be real with him. And you know what? When we jack around in these fields, there are people and our children that will pay the price for our lack of obedience to the Word of God. And that is reality. I got one more verse, and then I'm going to zip it. Ecclesiastes 12:13. This is Solomon. Solomon writes the book of Ecclesiastes, and he's looking back on his life. And what's he come to? What's he come to on this whole thing? Life is vanity. Look, we are to have a victorious life. Everything on this earth is vanity. Everything in heaven, that eternal inheritance, that's victory. Chase after the victory. Chase after the win. Ecclesiastes 12:13, it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is what? The whole duty of man." I just don't know what to do, Tyler. I just don't know what to do, Brian. I just don't know what to do, brother. I just don't know what to do. Here, this is what we're to do. We are to fear God and keep his commandments. Follow after him. And don't allow the things of the world to get us sidetracked. Because at the end of the day, people will pay the price. And oftentimes, it's our own children and it's our own family members. Thanks, guys. Brian.